We're going to read a few verses in Acts chapter 4. I realize it's much later than normal. And just so you knew that, I knew what time it is. Thank you. So we will not be as long as we typically are. Unless, of course, the Spirit gets in it, and then we'll just go all night, Brother Lucero. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. I'm going to talk a little bit about prayer tonight. There's many things you preach on in the Bible, subjects, and it's like, I like that subject, this subject. Oh, I feel there's certain subjects I think are uncomfortable to everybody. I don't think anybody can get up and just like, we talk about prayer like, I got this thing nailed down. It's an ongoing thing. To think that we can talk to a holy God at any time is unbelievable. Sometimes we get caught up in the fact, you know, like, well, I'm not seeing these huge answers to prayer. You know, maybe we're not seeing the huge answers to prayer because there's a lot of things we pray and God takes care of ahead of time, but we're not attributing it to Him. I heard a message in college, and he used the children of Israel. I don't know the specific verses, and he talked about three things you ought to pray for. And I from that day, that's on my list. I pray for it. That they had provision, God provided for them miraculously, protection, and guidance. And we pray for those things. It's like, well, I didn't see God specifically drop something down. We ate today. You have a job today. You know, guidance, God's brought you to this place. And so God does answer prayer. We ask you to pray for Easter Sunday. You know, I think back to when I got saved. I'm sure that church said, hey, let's pray for Easter Sunday. Let's pray that something great happens. And I'm not great or anything, but they probably thought, well, it's just an average day. Some people showed up, but I got saved on that day. And I'm glad some people prayed that when people came to church, that the message and the Spirit would convict them of their sins, because I was convicted of my sins. And so prayer is not something we are perfect at. So don't wait till you're perfect before you pray. Just pray. And so I want to go through the story. We don't have a lot of time. I'll go through it quickly. Verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. They had been threatened, and we'll mention that in a minute. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and sea and all that there in them is, who hath by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why doth the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, I like that phrase, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for this evening, Lord, that we can remember you. Thankful for these folks tonight that are faithful. Very encouraging to have a church of people that love you enough to faithfully gather each and every Sunday morning, Sunday night, on Thursday night, to fellowship with your people, to gather around your word And here's something that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The fourth chapter of Acts presents the aftermath of the healing of the lame man at the temple that occurred in chapter 3. So, you know, the whole silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. There was quite a to-do when that man was healed. The priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees come at the beginning of the chapter to break up the testimony meeting that has taken place as a result of the healing. The man comes over to part of the temple, and the crowd gathers, and they use it as an opportunity to preach the gospel and get the word out. And, of course, the priest and the religious folks, they didn't like that. And so, really, this is one of the first persecutions of the early church in its beginning. Nevertheless, a powerful witness of the resurrection is further preached as a result. So these men come and they question them. They understand that they were in a hard place because they couldn't deny that a miracle had been done. But they didn't want it to have influence. So they had to be careful how they handled it. They meet and threatened them and tell them to be quiet. Don't say anything. We'll threaten you. Go your way. And they actually thought that would work. But Peter stood up to them with boldness and confidence. It's amazing that they prayed for boldness because Peter already had some, but he knew he needed God's power to be even bolder because he was going to face a little bit more. Through it all in this chapter is the preaching of the word in the face of opposition and finding the power to get it done. I think of the church in the book of Acts, the young church. They didn't have any of the things that the modern church has, and yet they, because of the power of God, accomplished much. They did have all of the persecution that the modern church, for the most part, except in parts of the world, does not have. By the way, most of their leaders did jail time. Now, not the way some of you have done jail time, okay? They were doing it because they were being persecuted. And fact of the matter is, their resume probably wouldn't have done real well if we were looking for a church staff. But it was all for the cause of Christ. So what was the secret of their success? How were they able, as we looked at, I believe it was last week or a couple weeks ago, we looked at some verses in the book of Acts where it's like they hazarded their lives, they turned the world upside down, they took knowledge, these men had been with you, all this stuff that was going on, and they were making a huge impact, but how did it happen? It's that phrase right there. And when they had prayed. Someone asked Charles Spurgeon, who at a young age, 20 years old, around by the time he was 20, he had a church of 5,000. They asked him, his church was so full, people had to have tickets to get in. Okay, could you imagine that? Yeah, you have to ticket to get in? We could make quite a bit of money if we did that, but no one would come. And he had to build a bigger building. But they asked him, they said, by the way, his sermons were in the newspapers. They asked him, what was the secret of your ministry? And here's what he said. I have people that pray for me. He didn't. By the way, he's considered one of the greatest orators or preachers of our generation, of that generation. I mean, just he was very forceful. But he realized that's not where the power lied. It was with prayer. As we look in this chapter, I want you to notice three aspects of their prayer here. First of all, I want you to notice the cause of their prayer. Look at Acts chapter 4. Look at the first couple verses of the chapter. What caused them? Now, we ought to pray all the time, but there was something very specific in this chapter that caused them to pray this specific prayer. What was the cause? Well, there were several things. First, it was the work that they did. Acts chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, and they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people. These religious people are coming by saying, man, we're grieved that they have this crowd and they're teaching them the word of God and preach through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them. Not like we lay hands on someone sometimes to pray for them. Okay, this is not that kind of laying on of hands. They were grabbing them. And put them in hold the next day, for it was now eventude. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. The number of men was about 5,000. You see, this prayer that they prayed in this chapter, and we'll look at all the results in a minute, was birthed out of a fact that it was birthed out of the work that they were doing. They had started doing a great work, and they were going around, and they had this opportunity, and this man got healed, and then they used that as an opportunity to reach more, and they had just come out of Pentecost where thousands were saved, and they were doing a great work for God, and because of that, the enemy didn't like it, and persecution came. Why do we need to pray? We need to pray because of the great work that we are involved with. Like Brother Joseph, I would call him Brother Esposito, but if I do, half the people in the room would think I'm talking to them. But like Brother Joseph's testimony there, things are still happening. People are still being saved. And we can't just put it in autopilot and say, well, that's great. We just expect people to be saved. No, if people are going to be saved, we have to go out. We have to do our part. But the Spirit of God has got to convict people and lead us to the right people. You know, we don't save anybody. If people are going to be saved, it's because God brings them our way, or we go to the right person, and the seed is there, and the time is right, and the Spirit convicts from the Scripture, and people will be saved. We need God to do a great work. They took advantage of the opportunities that God gave them, but because they took advantage of the opportunities, God did great things. The cause of their prayer was the work that they did. The only way we're ever going to avoid the enemy is to do nothing, say nothing, go unnoticed, and be uncontroversial. By the way, why is it whenever you just believe something that the Bible says that's controversial? I'm a Bible, oh, that's too controversial. What's controversial about it? You should just be normal. Now, people may not have been Christians and believed it, but to them it's like, well, at least we know that's true. It's not controversial. But we'll get to some of that in a minute. But we just need to do what is right. The work that they did. If we're not doing the work, then there's no need to do the prayer for the work. Also, I want you to notice another cause of the thing was the witness that they gave, which kind of goes along with it. Look at verse 7 of Acts chapter 4. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, by what power or what name have you done this? They're interrogating them. Hey, what's that all about? What are you guys doing? What is this all about? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of this people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which is set at the knot of the builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I think they love Jesus. I think Peter and these guys, they look for every opportunity to say, it's Jesus. Has nothing to do with me. It wasn't Peter, Paul, and John Ministries Incorporated. It was Jesus Christ. And they weren't afraid to stand up and give his name. Well, some people don't like that. Guess what? I'm saying this kindly. That's tough. If you love Jesus, I'm not saying, as I mentioned today, don't be a knucklehead. But it's okay to say, I love Jesus. I'm a Christian. And you ought to get to know Jesus too. That's not offensive. But that's what we're called to do, is to be a witness. We're a witness in the way we live, but we're a witness in telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's going to take prayer. The name of Jesus throughout the book of Acts and this chapter and some of the other chapters is heavily emphasized. The reason we need to pray is because we're witnesses of the name of Jesus Christ. And then I want you to see the last cause of their prayer was the warnings they received. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, doesn't mean they were stupid or anything like that. In other words, they weren't trained. Okay, these weren't college educated type guys in their mind. They weren't trained as maybe some of the religious rulers. These were just regular guys. And perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I like that. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Here they are. They're trying to fight this thing, and they don't want it. And right in the middle of it, here's this guy that's been healed, and he knows he's been healed. It's almost like, hello, here I am. You can't argue about this. I'm standing right here. God kind of throws that in. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. They said, man, we got to stop this. Saying, what shall we do to this man? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further. You think they would say, man, there's a miracle done. We ought to get on board with this thing. But they're saying there's a miracle done. We got to hide this thing. How hard must their hearts be? And by the way, there are people out there that have hard hearts. You could tell them the truth. You could explain it. You could be a lawyer. It could make sense. But their hearts are so hard, they ain't going to listen. That's all we can do. But that it spread no further, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth no man in his name. They called them and commanded them not to speak nor teach. They said, let's just threaten them and tell them they can't do that anymore. You say, wow, it must have been really rough in those days. You know, people don't want to hear the name of Jesus anymore today. We face the same thing. So we see the cause of their prayer. The cause of their prayer is basically all that they were doing. Our Christian population is very soft now in America. We're criticized just for simply believing that Jesus Christ is the only way. You know how we responded to that? Well, let's just love everybody. And let's not cause any controversy. Let me explain something about an enemy. Once you start backpedaling, you better get used to it because you're going to have to keep backpedaling. You know, when you were a kid and you were a bully, I found if you stood up to them, usually things were okay. But once you back, look, a kid, give me your lunch money. Once you give it to him, you're done. You say, well, he's bigger than me. Grab a stick. So you want my lunch money, you're gonna have to come through the stick. But once you backpedal, that doesn't work. They keep pushing and pushing and pushing. We're so soft. Well, you know, someone has said that appeasement is like putting a lamb and a lion in a cage and they get along. The only problem is you got to put a new lamb in every single morning. Appeasement doesn't work. Churches left and right are changing their stance on traditional marriage. And we're not preaching about that tonight. Not because in their heart they think it's right, because they're just trying to get people off their back. Listen, if something's right, it's right. And it's not hate speech to say this is what God says. Okay? But we just, you say, how do you get, just let's be bold. Let's not be mean-spirited. But let's stand for right. You know what? There's only one way to heaven. It's Jesus Christ. Let's tell people about it. Well, you know, people might get upset about that. Okay, so it's better to believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven and not tell people about that. Are we helping them? No. We cannot back down. Number two, I want you to see the contents of their prayer. What did they pray about? Their prayer shows several things. It shows their understanding of Scripture in the first place. In verse 25 and 26, which we read earlier, they quote from the Psalms about how about the heathen rages and people were going to be against Christ. Listen, they should not, what they were saying is, we understand that from the Scripture that this isn't going to be a popular message and there always are going to be spiritual enemies. They understood that from the Scripture. I don't know how someone can read the Scripture and think that appeasing someone or backing off of what we believe is the way to reach the world with the gospel. The way to reach the world with the gospel is to give it to them. The way to reach the world with Jesus Christ is to tell them about him. Let's not back down off of that. Let's not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. He's done a lot for us, and so let's understand. Yo, but I know some people that won't like it. Be kind, be nice, but don't back off of what you believe. That's our understanding of Scripture. Of course people don't like Jesus Christ because they understand that if they were to trust Christ, that changes people's life. By the way, that's why if you work someone, you tell them you're a Christian, they're looking for you to do something unchristian. Because that makes them feel comfortable in their lifestyle. I've worked in it. I told you many times I worked in the warehouse. And there was a lot of guys there that professed to be Christian. Some of them I had concerns about. But whenever they did something that was not Christ-like, they would always come up and say, hey, man. Hey, Steve, one of your Christian brothers. Now, they called us hallelujahs. You know, hey, Steve, one of your hallelujahs. Man, they're back there and they did this. They'd come up and say, hey, man, that guy's lazy and he says he's a hallelujah. What's that all about? I don't know what that's all about. He's lazy. I ought to get fired. Okay? But they're looking for something to make them feel better about themselves. Let's not worry about that. Let's just love Jesus and let's share Jesus with them. Some people aren't going to like it. That's okay. But we see their understanding of Scripture. We see their understanding of the Savior. Verse 23, for of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast appointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. What they're saying is, we know that they don't like Jesus. And almost by inference, what they're saying is, because they don't like Jesus and we're connected to Jesus, they're going to persecute us. We don't understand that because we don't face persecution. But it's coming. It's coming. By the way, if you believe in traditional marriage, you're going to lose jobs. It's already happening. Where they call us, they say that we're not inclusive of everybody. Yes, we are. Gospel's for everybody. But because we say we believe, and I'm not harping on, I'm just saying this is the topic of the day. If we believe in traditional marriage, therefore we're not inclusive, and people are losing their businesses left and right. Yeah. If you have some type of business that has something to do with weddings, watch out. They're going to come and say, if you're not going to do this kind of wedding, they don't care about your religious beliefs anymore. Okay? They don't. And by the way, why isn't it everybody? If they come to us and say, I can't do that because of my beliefs, what do you believe? I'm a Christian. They're like, nope, we'll take you to court. Tell them you're a Muslim and see what happens. They won't say a word. Won't say a word. You say, why is that? I'll tell you why. It's because of Jesus. The problem is they have a problem with Jesus. What are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to stand up for the right, and we're supposed to kneel down in prayer. What are we supposed to do? Lord, by the way, we're supposed to pray for our country. We're supposed to pray for our leaders, as it tells us in the New Testament, that we may live peaceably. God doesn't want us to have that conflict. God wants us to live in peace if at all possible. But if it's not possible, we're still supposed to stand for the truth. And by the way, let me just say this. Too many of you listen to the media. There's far more people out there that have the right kind of, but they're afraid to say something because they don't have the microphone. Let's just be right, and let's go out, and let's share the love of God with as many people as we can. Why don't we? We're not going to become a political church where we get off fighting politics. That's not our goal. We're going to stand for truth, and we're going to win as many people to Christ as we can. That's what we're supposed to do. Let's just get the gospel out. Well, how do you change this country? I'll tell you how you change country. You change people. How do you change people? Like we said this morning, Jesus Christ. And then they understood their service. Verse 29-30 said, understand their threatenings, and they asked for boldness that they might do it. Why was their prayer there? Because they knew what was going on, and they wanted to continue to serve God and see people's lives changed and see people saved. And they went to the Lord of prayer. So that was the contents of their prayer. And lastly, I want you to see the consequences of their prayer. What happened because they prayed? Their request was completed. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. God gave them that thing which they asked for. By the way, that's the thing we need to ask for on a pretty regular basis. That God would give us the power and God would give us boldness to share Jesus Christ with everybody. With everybody. I want you to also notice their unity was cemented. Verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. You see, back then when they were starting to serve Christ, it caused them hardship. Now again, that's not here yet in our country. I think in the years to come, if the Lord doesn't come back, we're going to get there. But Brother Board, he gave the testimony of I don't know what they call the lady, grandma or the older lady, how she had to end up coming in saying, I have nowhere to live. Why? Because she got saved. Her husband divorced her, I believe. She stayed with her family members. Because of that, they thought she would get over her Jesus kick. And she had to come to Brother Board. She had nowhere to stay. That's what was going on here. So you know what the believers were doing? They had a unity that came through their praying and serving the Lord together, and they took care of one another. They took care of one. You know, prayer is unified, is unifying. When you have a church that's going the same direction, we have the same goal, we have the same vision, we're trying to accomplish the same mission, and we're all praying for that, you know what? We're all going to be unified. By the way, let me just say something about the building. The building can unify us, okay? And I'm not trying to scare tech, not this, that, or the other. We have a big number. We need $1.25 million. You say, well, I have that in my bank account. Come see me afterwards, service. We'll talk about that. We have a church of good people, but we have a church of rich people. Okay? Say, well, where's that money? Have we ever raised that much money in 1 year? No. But you know what? We have a God that can take care of our need. You know what I want to do? I want us to raise as much money as we can and have an offering. And if we're short, we're going to push the envelope. We're going to go out there. We're going to do as much as we can. And if we start running out of money, it's like, Lord, what are you doing? It's your building. I think God can honor that. But we got to do what we're supposed to do. But we'll be unified because we're doing something of a great magnitude. When we go out soul winning, we have crowds out, we're going out there, and people are coming into church, and people are being saved. Man, it's exciting. And it's unifying. Their needs were common, as we mentioned earlier. Verse 34 and 35, you can read it. People were selling lands because they knew their brothers and sisters needed some help. It helps us to be more unified. It helps our needs to be met. And then the last thing is this, the mission was continued. Verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. You know, a mistake sometimes Christians and churches make is this. We believe that everything we do is based on us. It's just the work we do. It's just what we give. It's what's going on in our ministry. But let me just tell you something. That's not what it is. We do everything we can, but we've got to have God's power. We've got to have God's resources, and we have to have God providing what we need. Now we can go to the flip side. Well, I prayed about it. I mean, I prayed for that $1.25 million. Now, I'm not giving anything, but I'm praying God's not going to be in that. God wants us to do our part, and God picks up and does what we cannot do. That's what we want to see, right? We can go out, we can pass out invitations, we can pass out flyers, we can witness to people, but we cannot save anybody. It takes the Spirit of God convicting somebody for them to be saved. By the way, we don't sneak them into heaven. Like, I know you didn't understand, but just pray with me and you'll be saved. No. They need to make a decision. They need the Spirit of God to teach them the truth of the gospel, and that only comes from God's Spirit. That comes through prayer. Listen, there's a lot we need to do here. There's a lot we want to accomplish. Joseph is right. I think our best days are ahead of us. What about the good old days? We had a missionary come years ago to the old building on Pacific, and he was in town, and we had him in a missions conference. And his dad came. His dad actually lived in the area. I didn't know it was his dad. He had a business where he would go around and collect. He had a business recycling junk. Not a recycle guy, but he had a business where he'd get this stuff and do it. And I had noticed him in the neighborhood before, and I didn't know. I said, I didn't know he was your son. He was there. He goes, yeah, man. He goes, I used to go to church back in the 70s. Now, the 70s for our type of church is considered like the heyday. You know, everybody was getting saved. Churches were big. There was a Baptist school out here. It's no longer out here. It was huge. There was all kinds of huge. It was a church in Pomona that ran about 5,000. I mean, it was the heyday. And this guy was talking about, he knew all these preachers. I knew this guy, and I knew that guy. And man, it was the heyday. And boy, that was the day when everything good was happening, everything was going on. And he quit going to church. And I'm thinking, I don't want to hear about the heyday. Okay? Hey, today's the day. That's the day. Let's go get someone saved now. Let's not sit around talking about what happened 25 years ago. 25 years ago doesn't help anybody. Say, well, how's that going to happen? I'll tell you it's going to happen. And when they had prayed. When they had prayed. You say, but I'm not a great prayer warrior. Get in line. What are you supposed to do? We're just supposed to pray. You know, when we're saved, God's our Heavenly Father. Do you need to be a great, my kids don't need to be great communicators to come to talk to me. They have to be my children. Well, they'll ask for whatever. I know, sometimes the answer is no, amen. But I'm their father. I want to listen to them because they're my child. Do you know God? God's not looking for you to be perfect. Well, when my life gets better and maybe I start, you know, I feel like I'm a better Christian, I'll pray. No, pray now. God wants to hear from you now. Believe it or not, he loves you. Yeah, he loves you. He wants to hear from you. He wants to do something in your life. Don't let Satan bum you. Oh, you don't even know what you're doing. You know, and I know, discipleship, we teach you the acrostic acts. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. That's a good outline for prayer. But can I tell you something? If you spelled it backwards and you prayed, it's all good. Well, I forgot the T, so it's ACS. That's actually our accounting software. But it's okay. God wants you to pray. God wants you to spend time with him. Say, well, I have a children's Sunday school class, and I want God to do something. Pray about it. Pray for it. Pray for next week, Easter. I hope it's already been on your prayer list. We give you the 10 things to pray for. I hope you pray for that. Now we're going to plan, and we're going to prepare, and we're going to be ready, but we need God's power to accomplish something. How do I get the building done? Prayer. Yes, we're going to have the dinner series. Yes, we're encouraging and motivating everyone to do greater than they've ever done before. But that's going to take God. Lives will never be changed without prayer. People will not meet Christ without prayer. The needs of our church will never be met without prayer. Our building will never get done without prayer. But I do know this, God answers prayer. You don't have to be a perfect Christian for God to do something. And I want us to be a church that prays about what's going on and prays for our needs. Because when they had prayed, that's when the place was shaken. That's when they were filled with the Spirit. And that's when they spake the word of God with boldness. Let's all bow our heads tonight.